You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Who's going to pay for the policies of the last decade and who are going to pay for the spending policies of the next decade?
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news. This week, extending the tax cuts, the long-term impact.
The Bush tax cuts will expire at the end of the year unless Congress acts to extend them. The question is, will extending the cuts help or hamper the nation's economy? With a 10-year projected price tag of more than $10 trillion, senior fellow Adam Looney says cutting out the tax cuts could help tame the escalating deficit.
The tax cuts that were enacted in 2001 and 2003 are scheduled to expire at the end of this year. And those tax cuts affected a broad majority of Americans and reduced their taxes on tax rates on wage income, on capital gains and dividends, and provided other tax breaks for married couples and for families with children.
Is our progressive tax system in any way impacted by tax cuts?
The 2001 and 2003 tax cuts disproportionately raised the after-tax income or the purchasing power of higher income groups. So, for example, I believe the top 0.1% of the income distribution, that group making more than roughly $8.5 million, or making an average of $8.5 million a year, their purchasing power was increased by about 7% by those tax cuts, whereas the increase in income for the lowest income groups was roughly zero. Allowing the tax cuts to expire would bring the tax system back to where it was in 2000. Continue to have a progressive tax system, more progressive than the one that we've had for the last 8 years, and we'll have made headway towards addressing the long-run fiscal challenge.
You've written in your paper that eliminating these tax cuts is the first step in getting a handle on our escalating deficit.
Addressing these tax cuts is the first step. Ultimately, I'm sure that it's going to involve hard choices about where to get the revenues, from whom to get the revenues, when to raise those revenues, as well as tough decisions on the spending side. We have these five programs: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, defense, and then of course interest. And if we can't even pay for those with the revenues that we're getting, how can we pay for everything else? And ultimately, how can we maintain that level of government services that everybody has become accustomed to? And I think the answer is that we can't do it with our current tax system, and addressing those issues in the now with the expiration of the tax cuts is a prime opportunity to take a first step at addressing these long-run imbalances.
So what's the prognosis for our nation's fiscal health?
The near term looks particularly bad. I mean, I think there's just a lot of poor economic indicators. The weekly claims for unemployment insurance spiked, new home sales plunged, the bond market clearly yields are extremely low, which I think is an indicator that investors are very scared of any sort of risk or the prospects for business investment. And so I think all those things are kind of foreboding in the near term. But at the end of the day, we have a very skilled labor force. We have a tremendous capital base. We are the most dynamic and entrepreneurial economy in the world. I think the rise of China and the rise of all these, the BRIC nations, is more of an opportunity for Americans than it is a threat. And so I think that those are just new markets. And I think the sooner we have everybody in China drinking Coke, wearing Levi's, driving Ford, chewing Wrigley's, I think the better off we'll be.
Adam, thank you so much for your time here today.
Thank you.
I'm Gigi Hinton. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again next week at Brookings.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone, go to brookings.edu/mobile.